Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome a very wonderful guest speaker. If you've been at Miracle Life for any time, Lord has ministered to you through Reverend Larry Brown before. And Reverend Brown, amen. Reverend Brown speaks at Rhema Zambia. He spoke in the last eight years, missed 1 year for COVID. But has invested in this nation. If he's not preaching at Miracle Life, he's preaching at Rhema Zambia graduates, making a huge impact in those churches as well. We have some connections. Maryland and Louisiana, we've got both connections of those states in America, family and growing up there. And was on staff at Rhema USA for quite a number of years and just travels the world and is a huge, huge blessing. So what we'd ask you to do is just open your heart to the Holy Spirit and let God minister to you and to our congregation today. Amen. So Reverend Larry Brown, would you come? Let's give him a wonderful welcome today. Praise the Lord. Love you.
Love you too. Just stay here for a moment.
Sure, sure.
When I was shaving, the Lord just moved my heart to do this morning. Lakisan gabia shikime. Hamohoya siki naha siki kaina. Ho shine masune heasi egoya masika mama. Ho shikai brindi gibo sukumbama. Mamai sine sukumbai kaina sikinai sine. Shambrake biasu ketero sukobrasiki papa. In this season of transition, I'm imparting unto you the grace. For this place and that place and this place and that place, a grace to move here and there and there and here. So I say, my son, be of good cheer. For the grace, the anointing will have a great impact as you go to this church and this ministry and to other parts of this continent and other places by my graces. Yes, the anointing on my servant to go here and there is being imparted to you here and now for the season to come, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Was not on my radar until I was trying to wake myself up when I got up at 5:30 this morning and said, let me shave while I was sitting down with the electric razor. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord said, do that. So I did that. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Well, the message God gave me for this morning ties into what the announcement of last week. And the title is Grace for Every Season. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Praise God. But the main emphasis in this verse, the point I'm wanting to make this morning by the Spirit of the Lord is His grace is, praise God. Now, the mandate God gave me when I began to travel years ago, or actually I was in the Navy and I was listening on the radio to Brother Kenneth Hagin, founder of Rhema USA, and he said that his mandate was teach my people faith. I said, well, Lord, is there a mandate that you have for me? And so even before I became a Rhema student, as I was transitioning out of the U.S. Navy to go to Rhema, he said, your mandate is Isaiah 40 and verse 1, which is comfort my people. Praise God. So that's an undertow many times, no matter what I'm ministering on, even teaching in Bible schools or whatever, is comfort, comfort ye my people. But before I move any further, I've got a short video clip that's going to tie into the message, and so they're going to pull that up. I've got a daughter that's in Thailand. She's been there since the age of 19 by the grace of God. And she's with the mission that rescues children from trafficking, and she's the director of 90 staff. They've got 30 to 40 acres. I'm not sure exactly how many, 33 buildings on the campus, and they do a lot. But go ahead, and if you got that going, praise God.
My heart was just like, I was overwhelmed because I just heard literally the day before these stories of this girl who was like sold for $24, this other girl who still had bruises on the top of her head. Her mom beat her with like a Coke bottle, but to see them worshiping and to see them experience the love of Jesus, it changed my life. And I knew from that moment, like, I want to be back here. I want to serve here full time. When I think about like, people say, how did you give up? You know, you're a young girl. Like, how could you give all that up? And I say, I gained everything I needed. I gained a family, you know, like God prepared for me a beautiful family of these rescued children, of our staff, just even being able to do life with Lana. You know, I gained a family in that, and to see the healing and restoration that is taking place every single day in this place, in the lives of our kids and our staff. Like, everybody receives healing when they come on this promised land, right? Everyone, even visitors who come, they experience the peace of God when they come to this place. And so I just think I gained everything when I came. And I just want to encourage everyone else, just like, be willing to really seek God, get in his heart, because when you're in his perfect will, you have everything you need.
You know, this transition, it's about the perfect will of God. Amen? And we just sang, he is perfect in how many of his ways? All of his ways. Amen? I know, like Larissa, you know, she was my daughter there. She was planning on being a school teacher in the public schools of Oklahoma. She was scholarship. She had the aptitude, the heart, the passion to do all that. But during the last quarter of her senior year, she had an open vision where she saw herself sitting on the floor somewhere in Asia teaching people the word of God. And anyway, she ended up going to Rhema instead of regular college that would have been paid for. She had to work her way through college. She was on the women's basketball team. So afternoon practice, working at a pizza place at night, traveling sometimes as far as Virginia from Oklahoma. I don't know how many miles that is, 12 to 1500 miles or something like that. And for some of those tournaments and stuff. And then she went on a summer trip to Thailand. And that was the testimony she was sharing there. And they were just getting these children's homes started. And God just put this grace in her heart for that nation. You know, the Bible says, you know, well, in Strong's Concordance, when the Bible talks about grace, one definition is a divine influence upon the heart. And every season God moves you into, there's a divine influence that he puts upon your heart. Amen. For example, when my wife passed away almost 10 years ago, all of a sudden there was a shift in my heart. She was always the one that was like the glue, the buffer with all the relatives. And I didn't realize that was a thing. All of a sudden, when she passed, all of a sudden, it just something came inside of me and manifested. It was like, all of a sudden, it was within me to do that. Or I remember looking at my sister when she had her grandkids, and she, you know, money was tight at times. She'd buy them things. And in my mind, I'm thinking, didn't you say your money's tight? Why are you buying them stuff? All of a sudden, I became a grandparent, and I got it. It's just different. God just has all these different graces for the different places and seasons in our life. And as the leadership transitions here, there's a grace for this place in this new season of everyone's race. Amen? Praise God. So let's get into some scriptures. My first point here is change is inevitable, isn't it? You know, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then it gives you a laundry list of all these different things that have seasons. And then jump into verse 11, it says, he has made everything. How many things? Everything beautiful in its time. And so with this transition, it's going to be a beautiful thing. Amen. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be a beautiful thing. Do you believe it? Amen. Praise God. You know, God appoints the times and seasons. Daniel 2:21, it says, and he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Hallelujah. But do you know what? God's grace is sufficient. No matter what the times, the seasons, who he raises up, who he transfers, shifts, moves here and there, God's grace is sufficient. You know, Paul said, in fact, the weaker you are, the greater the grace that will manifest. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Reading that again. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, my what? My power is made perfect or complete in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes seasons come gradually. Sometimes they come quite suddenly and even unexpectedly. For example, the founder of Rhema USA, Kenneth E. Hagin, suddenly he passed away in 2003. And at that time, there were 14 Rhema campuses around the world. Even though it was sudden, Rhema continued to grow. I read a report from the dean of Rhema USA. He sent me in October. I was wondering how many schools there were, at least at that point. And it had grown from 14 to 320. Amen? Because God's grace is sufficient. And then your current pastor here, he's going to, and his wife, you know, pastors, they're going to be focused more on Rhema. And guess what? It's going to grow. It's going to grow in this continent. It's going to grow in this country. More people are going to be equipped. More people are going to be trained because God's grace is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, I've just had some things just bubbling up in my spirit all week. So I was like, Lord, am I going to be able to get all this out? But God's grace is. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I remember when, you know, COVID manifested in 2020, 2021, my daughter, yeah, I touched base with her and I said, well, how you doing? And she said, well, Dad, except for the founder, all the missionaries have left. And then the staff were looking at us and going, what are we going to do now? And she said, hey, you're going to do what you've been trained to do. And guess what? The staff has doubled, I think. The population of the kids has probably doubled. The facilities have more than doubled. The outreach has doubled. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's big on raising up people. What is God's grace? What is God's grace? In the New Testament Greek, grace is the word charis. If I'm not pronouncing that right, God's grace is sufficient. Praise God. In Strong's Concordance and Greek dictionary, charis can be translated into English words such as graciousness, especially the divine influence upon the heart, gratitude, favor, gift, etc. Praise God. You know, in the video of my daughter, you know, like I said, you know, one of the things I wanted to emphasize was just what God's done with her. For example, you know, she gets over there and within 2 years, she's fluent in the language. She was not all that good at studying languages in high school, but in her place, there's grace. Amen. Because God's grace is sufficient. You say, well, how's someone 19, you know, early on in her life, you'll be a full-time missionary, not paid by the organization she's with. How's that happen? Because God's grace is sufficient. In fact, this past fall, you know, she was believing for a certain amount of money. She has her monthly partners and all of that. But then when she comes back to the U.S. for 6 to 8 weeks, she's itinerating. So she was home for 7 weeks in 7 churches. And she was believing for a certain amount. Well, triple came in. Why? Because God's Amen. And then since that time, it's like literally every week, extra chunks of money been coming in. And two of the biggest was in November. Somebody sent her a $10,000 donation. And then 3 hours before the new year manifested, somebody sent her back in November was a $13,000 donation. And then right at the new year, right before, it was a $10,000 donation. You know, because God supplies all our need according to his riches and glory, no matter what the quatch is doing. Because God's grace is, he supplies all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Exclamation point. End the point. Amen? Praise God. In Sparkling Gems from the Greek by Rick Renner regarding grace, it reads, grace is the Greek word charis, and it means grace, but also carries the idea of favor. He further states, the grace of God is God's special impartation that enables, empowers, and strengthens the recipients. Impartation means a spiritual transfer or download that enables, empowers, and strengthens the recipients. And you are all recipients of God's grace. Amen. My third point is God says to be strong in the grace. 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. You know, Paul talked about those who were partakers of his grace. In Philippians 1:7, just as it reads, just as it is right for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. Paul had so many people in his heart. He had a large capacity to have people in his heart by the grace of God. Then it says, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Amen. Humbly embrace the new pastor's grace. Humbly embrace the new pastor's grace. Humbly embrace the new pastor's grace. Praise God. And we all said, and we all said, amen. Turn to your neighbor and we all said, amen. Turn to your neighbor with a smile and we all said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the utterance and other ministry of the preacher is greatly affected by those he or she is ministering to. Why do I say that? Well, for one, the Bible tells us Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown. Why? Because it's like, isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that? So our attitude affects things in terms of what we receive. Amen. Matthew 13:58 says, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. In Matthew 13:14, I'm going to read from the New Living. It says this, Matthew 13:14, New Living. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Turn to your neighbor and say, no closed ears or eyes here. Turn to another neighbor and say, blessed are your eyes, for they hear and they see. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your ears. Blessed is your heart, because you allow God to impart all he wants to. Amen. Humbly embrace receiving from the new leadership, the senior pastor's grace. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. So there's more grace available. Amen. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. Therefore, submit to God. Amen. So you're only walking in humility to the degree you're walking in submission to God. Amen. 1 Peter 5:5 says, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting how much of your care upon him? All your care upon him, for he cares for you. So one of the things that can hinder the grace of God ministering to you, manifesting your life, is you have cares. So like even with this transfer, what do? Cast the care. Amen? Upon the Lord. You know, some people are at peace. They're good already. Praise God. But maybe there's some others that are wrestling with things. Well, the Bible says, cast how much of your care? All your care. Amen? Upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. We just sang that repeatedly. Amen? He's perfect in how many of his ways? All his ways. And then verse 8 says, you know, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, that's written in the context of, if you got cares, you better cast it upon the Lord, because if you don't, you position yourself to be devoured by the enemy in your thought life. And he wants to affect your heart. Amen? So we want to cast every care. Have no care, pray instead. Amen? Hallelujah. Is this helpful to you? You are or will be graced to partake of the new senior pastor's grace. Some of the, like the leadership staff, understand they've been in transition in the works with this for a while. The others, it might be something fairly new. I don't know. But some, you're somewhere in the process of God gracing you for this. Hallelujah. Remember that he is the God who sees you and sees ahead and provides for you. I'm not going to go through the whole story of Genesis chapter 16, but Hagar was being treated harshly by Sarah after Hagar, you know, got pregnant with Abraham's, you know, child, and she was looking down on Sarah, and so Sarah was harsh with her, and she ran away. And then an angel appears, an angel of the Lord, and in verse 9 it reads, and the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, this is Genesis 16, 9 and 10. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Then verse 13, this is from the CSB translation. It says, so she named the Lord who spoke to her, you are Elroy, for she said, in this place I have actually seen the one who sees me. Close your eyes and say, my God sees me. Amen. The LEB translation says something similar. So she called the name of Yahweh who spoke to her, you are Elroy, for she said, here I have seen after he who sees me. Not just anybody else, but he sees me. Amen. God sees ahead and provides for us as well. Genesis chapter 22, it's a story where Abraham, he was directed to take his son Isaac up there and sacrifice him. And then right before he was about to, you know, sacrifice him, the Lord stopped him. And he saw that a ram was provided in the thicket. And in verse 14, it says in the King James Version, that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The New King James reads this way, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Amen. Everything is provided in our journey up to the mount of the Lord. We all have our own journey. Amen. It says, while often translated as the Lord will provide, the Hebrew root refers to God seeing ahead to provide, or seeing to it that the need is met. And that's not just financial need, material need, that's spiritual need, social need, emotional need, relational need, whatever it is you need, God says, I'm going to provide. Praise God. Hallelujah. Reminds me of that old song. We were, I guess it's Throwback Sunday. You were singing As the Deer. You know, another one is, you know, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He shall give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh, for me, for me. Do you believe it? Amen. Remember that he is the God of Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, we see that he, you know, he's the guide. He's the one who provides. He comforts. Sometimes you go to through adjustments and changes and different areas of your life. It can be, you know, somewhat awkward, uncomfortable at times, you know, but guess what? He's the comforter. Amen. He's the one. In Psalm 23, we see that he anoints. And there's fresh anointings, there's fresh oil. And it says his goodness and mercy will follow you. How many of your days? Amen. Remember that he is a God who wants to bring increase with every generation. Praise God. Our God is a God of progression. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as is in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord, John 1:16 in the New Amplified Version, John 1:16, it says, for out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. God is not stingy. Amen. Psalm 84:7 from the classic version of the Amplified, it says, they go from strength to strength. Amen. Increasing in victorious power, each of them. How many of them? Say, that includes me. Each of them appears before God in Zion. Amen. What do you think God is expecting out of us with divinely orchestrated change? Well, Psalm 145 verse 4 says this, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Psalm 145 verse 4. Psalm 102 verse 18, Psalm 102 verse 18 says, this will be written for the generation to come that the people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, who dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. You know, Timothy, Rick Renner, in his historical research said Timothy probably pastored over 100,000 people in Ephesus. But how? Because God's grace is sufficient. Praise God. You know, I think about Brother Hagin. You know, he had a special healing healing gifts of healing manifestation. Then later, God gave him a healing anointing. In the gifts of healings, he had the anointing to minister to cancers and growths and girders and a lot of other things. He would pray the prayer of faith over, and he'd have great results. And then at one point, the Lord said, "Now I'm gonna give you a healing anointing, which is gonna be all encompassing." But then Brother Hagin said himself, even though Jesus had personally appeared to him and put his fingertips in the palms of his hands to minister that healing grace to him, he said, my son, Kenneth Hagin Jr.'s anointing is twice as strong as mine. And then he said his grandson Craig has an anointing three times as strong, because God's a God of increase. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, even when God is pruning, it's for the purpose of producing more fruit. Amen. John 15:2, part of the verse says, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Say more fruit. Say, I'm about more fruits. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your participation. Praise God. There is amazing grace and comfort for every season. There is grace for the awkward and uncomfortable and for the stretching times in our lives. Amen. And it's like the more you stretch, and I got these pants are a little tight on me in the thighs, but the more you stretch, well, with this mic, I can't hear. Believe me, I can get down to my toes, but kids can't do it right now. But anyway, the more you stretch, the more easier it becomes to stretch. You get my point, amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, approach God's throne of sympathy, sympathizing of the, I'm all excited. Ah, calm down there. Praise God. Approach the throne of our sympathizing high priest. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So maybe you're struggling with any transition in your life. I'm not just talking about what maybe transitions in the church, other areas. You have a God and the Son of God who walked this earth in a human form, who can sympathize with anything you've gone through. Amen? And so the next verse says, go to him. Verse 16 in the Amplified Bible reads this way. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace. Is it the throne of judgment here? No, grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor with confidence and without fear so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace. What kind of grace? Amazing grace. No, I'm not going to sing it. With his amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. Coming when? There is grace for the awkward and uncomfortable and for the times of stretching in our lives. Anybody ever been there? Amen. Jesus also prayed to the Father to send us a helper and comforter. Praise God. In John 16:7, the Amplified Version, the classic version, it says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you. For who? That I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper. Anybody ever need help? Amen. Advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Praise God. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So does the Holy Ghost ever leave you? No. He's with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be with you. Praise God. The person of the Holy Spirit can prepare you in every way for every change. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to get a volunteer down here. Would you come up here, sir? Praise God. So let's say he's he and his name is Chanda. Let's say I'm the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to be in close fellowship with us. Wherever he goes, the Holy Ghost is going. Close fellowship. You go into a new experience in life, a new season, a new this, a new that. Amen. We're going to turn around. All right, let's turn around. The Holy Ghost, he's flowing with you. Amen. Wherever you're going, the Holy Ghost is there because he dwells inside of you. But my point is he's there to be in close fellowship with you. Amen. Point to yourself and say the Holy Ghost is in close fellowship with me. Amen. Praise God. He's there, but he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to communicate with you. So keep your heart wide open to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Embrace the seasons and you'll embrace the grace of strength and so much more. Embrace the seasons that God has for you. And you'll embrace the grace. And His grace is what? All sufficient. You know, I think about the grace of God and how, you know, it's the Bible talks about in 1 Peter 4:10-11, there's grace to speak and there's grace to serve with your hands. You know, in 2 Corinthians 8, I think it's verses 1-6, it's talking about grace to give. It talks about the grace upon the churches of Macedonia and their giving. And 2 Corinthians 9:6-11, talk about there's grace for sufficiency in terms of provision and grace to sow seed. You know, and the list goes on. Over in 2 Corinthians 8:7, talk about there's a grace to walk in faith, a grace to love, a grace to be diligent, a grace for knowledge, a grace for utterance, or speaking what God wants you to speak, and a grace for giving, and, you know, the saving grace, Ephesians, you know, 2:5-8, and the list goes on. In other words, God's grace is all-encompassing, and it is sufficient. Praise God. His grace is amazing. Embrace the seasons, and you'll embrace the grace of strength and so much more. By embrace, I mean humbly submit to what God wants you to do in and with you and for you. Praise God. In you, with you, and for you. Praise God. You know, but our attitude is so key in the midst of this. Ephesians 4:23 in the Amplified Bible says, this is the classic version, it says, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. A fresh what? Mental and spiritual attitude. And it said, constantly be renewed in the spirit. You could say the attitude of your mind. Ephesians 4:23 in the New Amplified Version, it says, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. Point to yourself, if you're willing, and say, I'm going to keep my mental attitude untarnished. Amen. Praise God. Open wide your heart. Open wide your heart. 2 Corinthians 6:11 in the NIV reads this way. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and open wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to my children. Open wide your hearts also. You know, so God is about us opening our hearts to those He wants us to open our hearts to. Does that make sense to you? Praise God. Open wide your heart signifies enlarging or broadening one's capacity to show warm affection. It is a plea to break down walls of suspicion or emotional distance. Praise God. So even in the family of God, God's saying, you know, be open to whom I want you to be open. That may not necessarily be to everybody. But to whom the ones God says, amen. God can enlarge your heart. He can increase your capacity. Psalm 119:32, the Amplified Bible says, I will run the way of your commandments with purpose, for you will give me a heart that is willing. God can give you a heart that's willing. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will steadfastly observe it to the end. Give me understanding, a teachable heart, and the ability to learn, that I may keep your law and observe it with all my heart. Well, God can give you a teachable heart regarding any area of your life. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, if you're struggling in that area, say, Lord, I need help. Give me a teachable heart. And He will. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Spirit can prepare us in every way. Praise God. The Holy Spirit shows us things to come that are relevant to our lives, to prepare us for every change. John 16:13, it says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth, and He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. And He does that to prepare you. Remember that you are precious to your God. Yeah, you are purchased with the Lord's precious blood. 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The verse before that talks about how you weren't purchased with corruptible things, but with His precious blood. You are God's precious fruit. James 5:7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And that's you. You are His harvest. Praise God. Your faith is precious to him. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. And then your death will be precious in his sight one day too, unless you're raptured, praise God. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. Put your arms around yourself and say, I am precious to my God. Praise God. And then lastly, remember God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus our Lord. And then Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Get a sip of water here. You know, Philippians 1:6 again, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is faithful. Amen. There's a song I used to sing, an old Steve Green song to this verse, and some of the words go like this. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, oh, he is faithful to complete it. Even at Miracle Life, he is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, he is faithful to complete it in you. Would you bow your heads with me?